Hello and welcome to Talking Spike, the podcast that's crap, but not quite as crap as some of the others out there. Honestly, some of the others, I despair. On today's show, something to keep our vast listenership of teenage girls happy. It's Herbert Sherbert's exclusive interview with One Direction. There's also celebrity news, Peter's diet tips, Nicky Interesting tackles the issues affecting the nation in the big shout, and the drama that everyone is talking about, The Lift, premieres today exclusively on Talking Spite Episode 6. I'm Peter Collins and I'm joined as usual by Graham Flynn.
Hello.
And Ian Dewar.
Hello.
First thing to mention, gentlemen, of course, is the orchestral transfer window closed last week. That's closed now till January. Lots of comings and goings in the final 24 hours. Were you gripped by it?
Gripped is probably a strong word. I was aware of it and I watched a little bit of it on the telly. Yeah, it was on.
I was on a night out and it was live in the pub, so yeah. I got to keep up to date with all the movers and shakers.
I was in the pub and they were showing like football or something on the big screen.
Close at the same time, doesn't the football window? Yeah. And you know, they got their priorities all wrong.
Oh, bro, everyone in the pub was like, get this off, get BBC4 on. It's orchestral transfer deadline day.
Yeah, and Jim White, that Scottish fella's on there.
No, he's on Sky Arts.
He's on Sky Arts. Oh, right, okay. I thought you'd crossed the boundary between Sky and the BBC.
That's Garth Crooks on BBC 4.
Garth Crooks, yeah.
The big news, of course, was Yuri Balachenko's return to St. Petersburg. No one saw that one coming.
No.
Our man Gary Tompkins got up with Yuri earlier, and this is what he had to say.
Yes, with all the comings and goings this summer, no one could have predicted the return of Yuri Balachenko to St. Petersburg. Here he is with me now. Yuri, a shock to see you back here. Tail between the legs or glad to be back?
Head held high, Gary. Why would anyone feel shame coming here?
Well, Yuri, you know, you went to Berlin for a massive fee and you didn't really deliver. You ended up 3 months later working with the youth orchestra while young Dominguez stepped into the limelight and achieved rave reviews.
I was misled by Pfefferkopf. He promised certain things. Revamping of the string section. Some new woodwind. These things never happened. It is how I always say. You can't win a Grand Prix if you are driving a tractor. As for the youth orchestra, their performances improved considerably before my return to Russia. I feel vindicated.
Would the head violinist agree?
How do you mean?
Rumours abound that you headbutted a 16-year-old during rehearsals, fracturing his nose, and that actually forced your return to Russia.
Again, rumours and lies. I slipped on water, carelessly spilt on the steps and fell. There were no charges, and me and young Dukulbunga shook hands once he left hospital. A big misunderstanding whipped up by media lies.
But you must still be disappointed your big move never worked out.
Listen, this is a massive orchestra. I never wanted to leave and it's great to be back where I'm loved.
Really? Even though you threatened to go on strike before your move to Berlin was ratified?
Lies, lies and more lies. I'm not listening to these lies anymore. I never wanted to leave. I'm happy to be back and that's all there is to say. Thank you, Gary. Goodbye.
Well, Balachenko, he's just walked away. Angry, but insisting that he is happy to be back. Back to the studio.
That was our man Gary Tompkins talking to Yuri Balachenko, who secured a surprise deadline transfer back to St. Petersburg after a $10 million payoff from the Berliner Philharmonica and extensive negotiations with his former orchestra, with whom he agreed a tax-free salary that dwarfs his previous salary at St. Petersburg. Plus the new penthouse apartments and gold Mercedes provided by the orchestra's beneficiary, Alexei Bagandachev, as a gesture of goodwill. Nice work if you can get it.
Yeah, it is.
Wish I had his agent.
So, gentlemen, what have you been up to this month, Graham?
Nothing.
Nothing at all?
No.
Nothing?
No.
Eating?
Bit.
Sleeping?
Yeah.
Washing?
Yeah.
Wanking?
No, couldn't be bothered doing that.
Not even... I don't believe that.
I don't care.
I've done all them things. I wouldn't describe it as nothing.
Nothing at all then, Graham?
Pete, it's called a private life for a reason.
That's the spirit. Ian, what about yourself? You're going to regale us with more stories about your Bulmore toilet?
I have got a toilet story, funnily enough. I've got two toilet stories.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I've been on holiday, went to France and stayed in a hotel, so in quite a nice hotel. The only downside to the hotel in the room was the toilet was a kind of a sectioned off annex of the full bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they built the toilet was there was no leg room in front of the toilet, so you either had to, yeah, exactly, so I can see your face is puzzled. So you walked in, there was a door, there's a bidet directly facing you with plenty of leg room, and then there's a toilet next to that with no leg room. So either the French are just cutting out the middleman and just shitting down the bidet, so they don't even go near the toilet, or you have to sit with your legs at 3:15 on the toilet.
Right.
or side saddle. It's like a side saddle shit. I've never had to do a shit side saddle before.
So they're giving priority to the bidet over the toilet.
Exactly, yeah. So that's why I think the French are trying to slowly phase out the toilet.
Animals.
Exactly. Mm. Shitting in the bidet and washing their arse straight away. They don't need it. It's a waste of water if you think about it, because they're flushing, then they're getting off, they're getting onto the bidet, and they're wiping their arse.
Why not just take the toilet out? They don't need it.
They don't need it, and they've got clearly not designed with it in mind. So that was weird. I've never done that before. Never had a side saddle shit.
The French are the only people then who would stay at a hotel in London and go, wow, this bathroom's spacious.
Probably, I would imagine so, yeah. And then another time in the same hotel, caught short one day, had to use the public toilets, but mm-hmm. the only one that was available was the disabled toilet.
Right.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is standard in all toilets of a disabled nature around the world, but in France, they've got a full-length mirror staring directly opposite you. As you sit down, there's a full-length mirror.
They're very vain, the French disabled.
I don't know why. They're just reminding them they're disabled. That's all it's doing. They know that. They go into the toilet for a bit of privacy, and then there's a mirror mocking them, almost. But I either went in for a wank, so that put me off completely.
Hang on, you went into a disabled toilet for a wank.
It was the only option. The other two were full.
The other two?
Yeah.
Yeah, the men and the women.
Hang on. So your order of priority is, I'll go the men's first. No, that's...
Yeah.
That's full.
Yeah.
I'll try the women's.
Well, yeah. I'd rather get caught in a woman's toilet by a woman than in a disabled by a disabled.
Men's, women's, disabled.
Yeah, that's my
order. That's not the order.
What's the order?
Men's, disabled.
It's men's, wait for men's, see if men's becomes free.
Oh, it was desperate.
Desperate for a disabled.
Desperate for a wank.
Desperate for a wank. It was France. You should have seen the state of the beach. Couldn't cope any longer.
Diabolical.
Yeah.
Diabolical.
Chilling.
Okay, moving on from this. We won't keep you waiting any longer. This is the drama that everyone is talking about. This is episode one of The Lift.
Life goes up and life goes down like the people in The Lift.
What time is the meeting with BJ?
In 5 minutes, so we should have time to set up.
Excellent. What floor are we meeting on again?
11th.
Oh my God, the doors aren't closing. I think it's broken.
Oh no. BJ will not be happy if we're late for this. And we'll never get up 11 flights of stairs in 5 minutes.
Life goes up and life goes down like the people in The Lift.
Whoa.
Whoa.
How good was that?
How's that going to end?
When's
that right,
gonna
end next?
When's the next bit coming up?
As soon as possible.
I can't wait.
Anyway, here's some this month's adverts.
Been refused credit or a loan? Don't have a home or car? But you have a kidney? Then call Kidney Loans now for a hassle-free loan. Kidney Loans don't care whether you're self-employed or have a home. All they ask is that you have at least one serviceable kidney. Listen to these testimonials.
I phoned Kidney Loans in the morning and was in the operating theatre by 2 p.m. where a kidney loan surgeon expertly removed my kidney and stitched a cheque for £5,000 over the wound.
I borrowed £3,000 for a family holiday, but had to spend it all on dialysis.
I thought it sounded too good to be true, until I... One quick call to the... Kidney Loans call centre...
Kidney Loans have loaned money to thousands of people in the UK, and a handful of them are still alive. So don't hold that kidney any longer. Make the call now, and get what you deserve. APR 23,708%. Typical example, on a loan of £10, total amount payable £9,862,403 in 674,000 monthly payments. Please note that Kidney Loans have filed for bankruptcy and you will be liable for their debts to creditors.
Trance Club Megabeats 5. 72 locked on membrane infusing tracks of epic proportions. Featuring DJ Spank, Elmo Hardback, Optimus Prime and the Hurry Shaman. The very best in hard hat Apple Corp Belmgong. Over 15 hours of unnecessary similar noise.
Unnecessary.
Devastating remixes from Tommaso Pantan, Mike Baldwin vs. Cambalo, DJ Crouton, Iceman, Dr. Rhyme Crime, MC Cockrock, Bobby Sausage Fingers, and Penelope Keith.
Trance Club Mega Beats 5. Unnecessary.
Are you a young single man looking for a bit of no strings entertainment? Then phone our exclusive Real Housewives phone line and chat with real housewives who want to chat with you. There are loads of Real Housewives to choose from, so take your pick. It's simple, just phone 055-555-555-555 and chat with our Real Housewives. Press 1 for Susie.
Did you remember to put the bins out? Did you? No, you didn't. Don't worry, I'll do it.
Press 2 for Yolanda.
Are you looking at that barmaid? Are you? No, I saw you looking at her. You think her arse is better than mine, don't you? Well, you stay here and look at it. I'm going.
Press 3 for Vicky.
No, stop it. I'm not in the mood. No, I'm trying to read my book. I said I'm reading my book.
Press 4 for Spatula.
Great news, darling. I've booked us a holiday. We're going on a tour of French churches with Mummy and Daddy.
Or press 5 for Welkie Bet.
There's no football today, is there? Great! You can come shopping for new curtains and cushions with me.
Calls cost just 7,704 Costa Rican colons per minute. So don't hesitate and call a Real Housewife of your dreams today.
Okay, last month Peter was kind enough to share some sex tips with us. I didn't bother using them personally.
Really? You didn't need them or?
Didn't need them.
Wow, what a beast.
The vaginal sex one.
Did you try that?
Didn't get anywhere near that, no. The timing wasn't right. The mood wasn't right.
Yeah.
You can't just
wade in there.
You can't wade in with vaginal sex. You've got to sweeten her up.
It's a shame because my sex tips have rejuvenated the sex life of me and the missus. Yep, we're having sex 3 or 4 times a week now. Often with each other.
Excellent. So they're working then. Clearly yeah. Working.
Good stuff. Anyway, Pete, what have you got for us this month?
It's diet tips this month. 3 diet tips for you.
Go on.
Okay, first one. I've been doing a lot of research on the internet. And this is apparently the most effective diet. I tried it last month, but admittedly, it didn't work for me. If anything, I gained a few pounds.
You look like you've put a bit
just
on.
A bit on around the face and cock. But but a lot of people say it works for them. It's the low crab diet. You don't cut out crabs altogether. You just eat a lot less crabs than you would usually. I was eating like 1 a day, 2 at weekends. Replacing crabs with things like bread, cakes, stuff like that. As I say, it didn't work for me, but it's worked for a lot of other people.
That says carbs.
It says what?
Carb. C-A-R-B. It says carb.
What's a carb?
Carbohydrate. Carbohydrate.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh, dear.
That's a month wasted. Yeah. Do you know how many perfectly good crabs I have to throw away?
How many?
Yeah. Quite a few.
There you go.
Diet tip 2. You know when you're on a diet and you're eating one of those large bags of crisps?
Yeah,
you know,
because you're on a diet.
Yeah, you know the big party-sized ones, like Walker Sensations.
Because you're on a diet.
When you're not on a diet and you're getting stuck into one of them and you can't stop because they're so nice.
Yeah.
You really want to finish the bag.
Mm.
I've got a little tip.
Go.
So you don't have to finish them. Just put the bag down for a second, just for a minute.
Mm.
Eat a couple of Snickers bars or a packet of biscuits and the sugary taste on your teeth will put you off the rest of the bag. You won't want to finish them.
Very good.
That works.
Does it work? Good.
It does work, yeah. I didn't lose any weight whilst trying that because I was on what I thought was the low crab diet at the time, but I definitely didn't finish the crisps
until
the next morning.
Yeah.
Well, maybe for a few hours
maybe
later.
Try it this month and see how you get on.
Without the crabs.
Without the crabs, sticking to low carbs.
Well, just eating lots of crabs again.
Yeah, and less bread and cakes probably.
Yeah, we'll try that.
Yeah.
Diet tip 3, if you're struggling with both of the tips I've given so far, diet tip 3, I watched the report on ITV News the other week by Lawrence McGinty, ITV News' science and medical editor. And it said, and I quote, diet pills are now worryingly easy to purchase off foreign websites. So that's good news, isn't it? Just do that instead.
Yeah.
The advice of Lawrence McGinty there.
It's very good, isn't he?
Earning his money, though.
He is.
Yeah. So they're my diet tips. Hope they help. Just trying to make everyone's lives better.
Just making lives better.
Good on you, Pete.
You know what we were thinking about the cliffhanger last time?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to find out exactly what happens next.
This is the part
two of the lift.
Get in, come on.
Life goes up and life goes down like the people in the lift.
Previously on the lift.
What time is the meeting with BJ?
In 5 minutes, so we should have time to set up.
Excellent. What floor are we meeting on again?
11th.
Oh my god, the doors aren't closing. I think it's broken.
Oh no! BJ will not be happy if we're late for this. And we'll never get up 11 flights of stairs in 5 minutes.
Life goes up and life goes down, like the people in the lift.
Hang on. Are you leaning on the door button?
Oh God, yeah.
You're an idiot.
Lift going up.
What am I like?
Life goes up and life goes down, like the people in the lift.
I did not see that coming. That was absolutely outstanding.
Amazing, wasn't it? Show goes from strength to strength, doesn't it?
Great piece of drama.
I just didn't imagine that was how it was going to pan out. It just pulls the rug, doesn't it, from when you...
Where else can you go with it?
You think you've worked it out, and then...
Is it back on next month?
It is back on next month.
Oh, I don't think I can wait, but...
Oh.
But in the meantime, Peter, anything in the Talking Spite inbox this
month? Anything in the inbox, like you two don't know.
What are you on about?
What are you talking about?
The Nigerian lottery. Which one of you bought the ticket for that?
Don't know what you're on about.
Blank faces all around here. Okay,
well, one of you did. One of you did.
Definitely not me.
We won the Nigerian lottery. 1 million naras. How good's that?
How much is that?
It's loads. A million of them.
Yeah, but what, in like English terms, what is
it? I don't know, but imagine it. A million naras.
So are we quitting again?
So this is the last. This is definitely the last one.
I'm sure it will. Well, as soon as the money turns up. The lottery doesn't seem to work exactly like ours does. I've had to send... I have to send a Western Union money transfer of £1,000 to a Dr. Shadrach Mugabe. I assume he works for the Nigerian Camelot.
That name rings a bell.
Shadrach?
No. Doctor?
Doctor... Yeah. I don't know.
Oh.
I've not had any dealings
I'm sure it's fine.
With Camelot before.
Yeah, I'm sure it's above board.
Yeah, I'll be here in no time. This time next month, I'll be up to our necks in near us.
Looking forward to it. Anything else?
Yeah, there's one just come in, actually, from a Mr. Alex Carew in Sydney.
Oh, yeah.
A bit of criticism for you, Ian, I'm afraid.
Go on, in what respect?
Earlier on you were talking about your toilet mishaps in France.
Yeah.
You pointed out that on the toilet, because of the lack of leg room,
yeah,
you had to either sit at 3:15 or side saddle.
Yeah.
Alex has pointed out 3:15 is technically side saddle. What you should have said was 3:15.
Or 9:15.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Fair point from Alex. One concern of mine, though, is how does he know? Because we haven't released this yet.
He's in Australia.
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
Well, 12 hours ahead. So he's in the future.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yep.
Cool.
Anything else in the inbox?
No.
But here's the Gypsy Kings with your financial news.
I'm a layer, 1 cent. I'm a dollar, 1 cent up on the euro, too.
And for people who are blind or have no windows, here's Graeme with the weather.
Snow and ice moving in from the east. Wrap up warm.
Cheers, Graeme.
Thanks.
Right, now on Talking Spite, it's time for some hard-hitting debate with the big shout.
With protests breaking out in Muslim countries against an anti-Islam film made in the US, and on home soil, fresh calls for the police to be armed, today, the big shout asks, should worm wrestling be banned? I'm Nicky Interesting, and this is the big shout.
The Big Shout!
The Big Shout.
Out, out of the lights out all, and over each quivering form, the curtain, a funeral pall, comes down with the rush of a storm, while the angels all pallid and wan, uprising, unveiling affirm, that the play is the tragedy man, and its hero, the conqueror worm. The words of Edgar Allan Poe, but should worms be bred to fight? That's today's question on The Big Shout. I'm Nicky Interesting, and joining me today, Harry Flash of the WWWF, World Worm Wrestling Federation, and Dr. Lance Nimmo, environmentalist and fervent anti-worm wrestling campaigner. Mr. Flash, earthworms have been around for 120 million years. Their job is to decompose dead plants and return nutrients to the soil. Not to wrestle.
Well, let me start off by saying, I agree totally what you're saying about what worms do, but the worm is naturally aggressive.
Naturally aggressive?
Naturally aggressive. Let me give you an example. I had some of my boys out training the other week, one of my prize fighters, Obnoxious Willie. Blackbird landed down next to him. He jumped up and rushed down the throat of the blackbird.
Is that a good thing?
You can't take this out of them. They're naturally aggressive.
Dr. Lance Nimmo, naturally aggressive.
Not normally. Earthworms, sometimes.
But I think the point you're trying to make, mm-hmm. Nicky, mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. does an earthworm have a purpose? And my answer to that is, yes, they bloody do. An earthworm, okay, you may not know this, I'll carry on regardless. Mm-hmm. An earthworm takes dead matter, processes it through a process called excretion, turns it into the purest, most unadulteratedest compost you have ever seen in your life.
Interesting.
And that's why an earthworm is called an earthworm, because it's the most important animal insect on this pale blue dot that spins in the endless abyss of darkness that we call space.
The most important insect animal. Compost is what it's here to do, Mr. Flash, not to wrestle. Surely you're just promoting aggression.
No, not at all. I mean, in their downtime, the lads are producing compost. We're not stopping them doing that, but it's stressful work for them, and they need a release. And as I've said, they're bloody aggressive creatures, so. And they love wrestling. Nothing wrong with it. Completely natural for a worm to have a ruck with his mates.
They love wrestling. They're living like kings. His worms are the best of both worlds. They get to expose their natural aggressive tendencies, and they get to compost in their spare time. Surely this is the future. These are privileged worms.
Can I just say as well, they're well-paid worms as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, recently we had the European Championships. Arrogant Toby won. €5.
€5?
And for a worm, €5 is a lot of money.
Mm.
I mean, I pick up a fee, of course. I think I got about €15,000 for that one. But a worm doesn't need money, does it? A bit of money's all right for him. Treat himself to a few luxuries.
What does it do with this money?
I don't know. You'll have to ask them. I don't keep tabs on them.
Well, I think like any kind of animal sport, the only winner in this is the human. Horse racing, horses don't get paid. Dog racing, dogs don't get paid. Now worm wrestling, don't think so. The only human that's making money out of this is a fat cat like him.
He's giving them the opportunity to fight, which they want to do. He's giving them great conditions. Can I just butt in? You have done.
If I'm honest with you, he's completely defunct my whole argument. I'll put my hands up and I will say, okay, I came here expecting to meet a monster who knew nothing about worms. And what we've actually found out is that he's a cunt. Okay? That is not my opinion. That is actual evidence. Actual evidence. Actual evidence. Actual evidence. Actual evidence. Edens.
Mr. Flash, we have, and I'm going to play it now, some covert footage of some worm wrestling.
Jesus Christ.
I know, we secretly recorded this last week. Listeners may find the following footage traumatic. Go on, son, get in there.
Finish him.
Come on.
Finish him.
Bite him, bite him.
Finish him.
Hit him with your tail. Bite him. You slag.
Bite his head off. Bite him.
That doesn't sound like harmless fun. It's okay, Dr. Nimmo.
How do you mean?
Hello. Once I had the misfortune of seeing one of these worm wrestling videos, and it was absolutely shocking. One of the worms had the other worm by the neck. Mm. By the neck. Okay, it's difficult to tell with a worm sometimes with a neck, and it starts and ends, but it was by the neck, right? And do you know what I did? Projectile vomiting. Mm. I was vomiting projectile.
Well, you know what? If you don't like it, don't watch it.
Ray! I'm going to bring in Mr. Ray Cock now, who's an enthusiast of worm wrestling. Mr. Ray Cock, what's your take on the matter?
Looks all right to me. I mean, I used to be into badger baiting, cockfighting, but that's all gone out the window. No, there's too much money in it, too much professionalism.
Mm.
Worm wrestling is the most common form of animal fighting you can find. The deer in the country, you can't get it in the north or east anymore, I tell you. Badger baiting, cockfighting,
just financially.
It's all gone.
You're not bothered about the violence?
No, I'm not bothered about that. Not bothered about that at all.
I tell you what I found about this guy, right? This guy is lower than a snake's belly. A worm's
belly.
How
are you, man?
He is lower than a worm's belly. How and you? I'll tell you how low a worm's belly is. A worm's belly...
Yes, Dr. Nimmo, lovely.
Too much money in the sport, man. That's all I'm saying. Cockfighting, badger baiting, worm wrestling, it's pure.
What I would like to say, okay?
You shut up. You've had your say. No. You've had your say, no. You bloody liberal. Shut it. It's natural. The worms love it. You've heard from Ray. The fans love it.
We do. I love it.
Dr. Nimmo, final words.
If you were to dig up a 9-foot square circle in your garden or anywhere anywhere on planet Earth,
mm-hmm.
you would find that every worm in that 9-foot square patch are all related. So what this man is doing, to put it in layman's terms, is getting his nan naked, keeping her moist and well fed, throwing her in a pit, right, with his naked, moist brother, and watching them wriggle around wrestling while this fella goads them on with gritted teeth. That's what you like. That's what you like, isn't it? That's the way you like it. That's the way you like it.
Gentlemen, as usual, we have achieved nothing. Thank you.
They're hermaphrodites, so it doesn't matter, does it?
Well, fair point.
Excellent. Join us next month on The Big Shout.
The Big Shout.
The Big Shout.
Right, it's time for another one of our regular features. Here's Mr. Herbert Sherbert with more celebrity guff.
How do? I'm Herbert Sherbert, and your celebrity headlines this month are Black Bite Blessed Beard Bonanza and Brush Strokes Cleans Up. Brian Blessed has insured his famous beard for £52 million. The booming voiced actor, 29, has been insuring his beard since the early 1980s after a prank by Cilla Black went horribly wrong. Cilla, 4'2", had gone to bite a single hair from Blessed's beard, but after she was goosed by Captain Sensible, she accidentally bit off a chunk the size of a Labrador's paw. Black was admitted to hospital for 5 days with dropsy, but more importantly, Blessed lost valuable acting work. The £52 million figure for Blessed's beard beats the previous insurance record of £48 million set in 2009 for Miranda Hart's moustache. And the BBC sitcom Brushstrokes, starring the late Carl Howman, is officially the most popular TV programme of all time in Russia, regularly pulling in 115 million viewers a week. What makes its success even more astonishing is that it's dubbed into Mandarin and that it stars Carl Howman. And finally, it's been revealed this week that Tina Turner's wigs aren't actually made from fox fur. The singer, 4.2 kilometres, says that the wigs are made from the fur of feral cats and strips of melted down prosthetic limbs from the former Eastern Bloc. Right, that's it for your celebrity news. Those tiles aren't going to grout themselves.
Okay, here's this month's usual horoscope. This time it's for people born in the sign of Trilby.
An average month all round for those born under the sign of Trilby. Adrian Childs will move into your home, constantly dress up as Jimi Hendrix, and insist that you call him Voodoo Childs. You'll be fired from your job in a comprehensive school in Leeds when the janitor uncovers Gok Wan's skeletal remains in your pigeonhole. The market stall you run will rob Halford of Judas Priest, selling the traditional street food of Sutton Coldfield makes record profits, until your dependency on Class A honey causes an angry swarm of bees to mob you for stealing their elixir. On a brighter note, Hello Hello star Vicky Michelle will present you with a Van de Graaff generator at your local community centre, and you won't die of rickets. Your lucky igneous rock is basalt.
Okay, ladies, the part of the show you've been waiting for. This is Herbert Sherbert's exclusive interview with One Direction.
How do? Me again. Okay, lads, how's it going? I know you're out on tour. You enjoying it?
Woo! Great! Yeah!
Excellent. New singles coming out as well. I think that's tipped to go to number one. What do you reckon?
Woo! Great! Yeah!
Anything else we might need to know about? You alright? You all having a nice time?
Woo! Great! Yeah!
Brilliant. Cheers, lads.
Thank you, Herbert. As insightful as ever. That's the end of the show. Bye-bye, everybody. That was Peter Collins, Graham Flynn, Ian Dewitt, Rob Reeves, Petra Collins and Lisa Johnson, with some music by Kevin MacLeod. The email address is talkingspite@gmail.com, and we're Talking Spite on both Twitter and iTunes. Have you subscribed to the podcast yet on iTunes? Well, do it now. And while you're there, click on 5 stars or leave a nice review. Honestly, shouldn't have to ask. At your lot. Bye-bye.